Welcome to another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. And this evening, we've got Dr. Keo Fortune Hill, and as per the usual, she has a guest with her. She will introduce you to her guest in a matter of seconds, but we want to welcome Dr. Keo Ford, to the Better Health Radio Show as she presents some medical information for you to digest. Good evening, Dr. Fortune Hill.
Hey, Gregson.
Hey,
good evening, and good evening to our listeners. Thank you for having us, as usual, on the Better Health Radio Show, where we seek to raise awareness to the public of common medical issues, or health issues, I should say, right, that affect all of us. And I want our listeners to remember, this is an interactive program. It's a call-in program. Call or text in. You can call us at 434-1790, or you can send us WhatsApp messages at 266-4862, and Gregson would feed us those calls and those WhatsApps so that you can be a part of the conversation. And today I have a guest returning with us. We have Dr. Lana Husbands. If you remember, last time we were talking about caring for the caregiver as it relates to particularly our elderly members of society and their caregivers. And she was so willing and eager, and she enjoyed it last time. And she was very willing to come back again, because there are a lot of topics as it regards to our seniors, because we were celebrating Seniors Month as well. So today, we're actually going to talk about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and that is sleep. We are going to talk about sleep and sleep disruptions as we age. And because I'm going to tell, for those of you who might not remember Dr. Lana, I'm going to tell y'all about her. I'll tell you some more about her. But what I would say that, other than for me as a psychiatrist, the top complaints I have are, doc, I'm not feeling like myself, or doc, I'm feeling sad, or you get dragged by another relative, or one of the top complaints to both myself as well as general practitioners is, doc, I cannot sleep, or I'm having difficulty sleeping. But Dr. Lana Husbands is a registered medical practitioner in Barbados with over 20 years experience. So we have somebody who's well seasoned, right? She has experience working in private specialist hospitals and public emergency centers in the UK. And she actually has her own medical practice for the last 15 years. She is a gerontologist, and her responsibilities include the holistic care of the elderly, such as diet and nutrition, dental care, caregiving, and everything to do with her precious elderly patients. So thank you and welcome, Dr. Lana Husbands. Again, thank you for joining us again, Dr. Lana.
Hi, Dr. Fortune Hill. It's so great to be back. Thank you for inviting me. I was thrilled when you asked me on Friday.
She's not exaggerating.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that.
I'm so excited. I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
I had to think about it for like 4 seconds.
That was it. And she had choices of topics. So y'all are going to hear from her, I guarantee, before the year ends again. Because our elderly are such a precious part of our society. Yeah. Are the ones that built the ground that we walk on now. They set us up for where we are today. And so it's our job to support them as well, right? They are one of our most precious resources, the elderly, or the senior citizens, the more mature in society. So let me just remind you that we're going to be talking about sleep, and particularly disruptions to your sleep as you get older, because it does change, and we're going to talk about that shortly. But remember that you can give us a call at 434-1790 or send a WhatsApp to 266-4862 to be a part of our conversation. So, Dr. Husbands, tell me, How does sleep change as you get older? I guess we could start with, do you need the same amount of sleep that you need when you are, let's say, 10 years or 11 years preparing for common entrance as when you are 85?
Well, there's a yes and a no to that. So good afternoon, good night, everyone, again. What I just want to say first, it is International Day of Older Persons.
Yeah. So
September ended Seniors Month, and we are just celebrating today as their special day. So that makes it even more thrilling for me to be able to, for us to be able to hear, to be here to speak about, you know, common concerns of older persons. So happy Seniors Day. Everyone. And so, yes, so sleep is a big deal. I think for us too, you know, Dr. St. Hill, we studying and all that. I think we owe ourselves about, 5 years of sleep if we accumulate the lack of sleep.
Honestly, that's why it's so near and dear to my heart. I wish I could sleep a lot more.
Oh, yes. So, and when you get older, yes, there is a theory or a thought, and we thought so too, that older persons do not need as much sleep.
Right, but that's what we were taught.
Exactly, because it seems like they were always up at the crack of dawn and going to sleep after the owls. So when do they actually need it? But research has again come across that they do need as much sleep as we do, between 6 and 7 hours.
Yeah.
But the problem is, the issue is the dysregulation that happens in aging. There are at least three reasons. So we'll just break it down so it's a little bit more easy to digest for today's session. Three reasons why, main reasons why in your brain and in your life as an older person, you find it harder to get to sleep and stay asleep. And then obviously we didn't just want to do bad news. We have three reasons why, how you can modify and rectify those.
Good.
So we can take it away from here. And the first disruption is every one of us has a sleep clock, a rhythm that does what we call circadian rhythm. So it's all day long. There's a rhythm and a regulation of hormones, thyroid, the brain, all the messages, all the chemicals in the brain, everybody gets together and with the daytime and night and how it looks outside. And we stimulates one of our systems in our brain that tells us to go to sleep. So that's the first thing. So when we age, as aging goes on, especially 70s and 80s, that's dysregulated. So you have the hormone melatonin, which really is responsible for helping us to get to sleep. Thyroid hormones, the messages that the brain sends from one end of the brain to the other in that sleep center in our brain. Like if you can think, on the left side of your brain is where all the processes take place, and it's kind of like in that middle on the left side part. You don't have to get too complicated, but there's that we need for sleep. So it's not just close your eyes and figure it out. There's actually a regulation that has to happen. And it has to have a cycle. So when you break that cycle, or when you don't produce the hormone that you would normally produce as you age, or when the messages don't get sent, especially in someone who may already have a disrupted regulation, someone who has dementia, Parkinson's, something like that, they're going to have a totally different disruption in their regulation. So that's off. So they're not going to fall asleep, and definitely they're not going to stay asleep. So that's the first thing that kind of we have to think about as doctors. It's not just, well, what do I give you to sleep? Yes. It is the whole process of sleeping.
But so that's a disruption as we get older. The messages just don't get sent the same way.
And the hormones just don't get produced in the same
way. Right. Okay.
So they don't last as long. The second thing is pain. So then if you're not sleeping in the day, in the night, you're going to sleep in the day. You're going to be drowsy in the day. And so they fall asleep in the day, the older persons.
They take naps.
Hey, here's what? You disrupted it again. So you're not going to sleep at night again. Can you imagine?
It's just like how I just had to wake up. I had to wake up my daughter not too long ago because I said, you have to wake up because you're not going to be up at midnight because I'm not staying up till midnight with you. So it's very similar. And parents would know if your child takes too many naps or sleeps too long or too late in the afternoon, you have difficulty with them going to sleep at night. So it's very similar, you know. Even as us as adults, if you sleep a lot during the day or take naps during the day, then a lot of the time you find it hard to stay asleep at night or get to sleep.
Exactly. And that's supposing that all of our clocks are regulating. So imagine when it's not, what's going to happen?
True.
And it disrupts your whole life. You can't go to the supermarket. You may not be able to feel to get out of bed. And these are people who are usually quite active, the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's confusing. It's disruptive. It's upsetting. The other bit that comes is, well, arthritic pains, pain from some reason, pain stops you from sleeping. So if you're in pain and it's not resolved and you've taken whatever you can, you drank whatever you can, and you tossing and turning, you're not going to have a good night's sleep. So pain, as with arthritis, pain of chronic illness, even for some persons, if they didn't eat in the day and they're hungry at night, but then they can't get up because they're in pain, and then they get up, but they don't want to move from the couch because they just ate and then in too much pain to go to bed, and they're sleeping in a bad way, they're going to sprain their back, they're going to sprain their knees, they're going to sprain their neck, and more pain again for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, because anytime then they turn or they make a movement, then another part of their body is hurting, and if it's hurting, you can't sleep. You know, everybody, you know, if you're in pain, you cannot sleep. And I find that is a common complaint as well, where a lot of our elderly clients, some of them are afraid to take painkillers because they're not sure which ones, but we could get into that a little later, just briefly. But yes, pain. So they have a disrupted clock, the internal clock, and then the hormones, and then they may be in pain. What else causes them to not sleep?
The other thing that can also disrupts them is because there are mainly, especially since lockdown, and the older persons are still sort of cautious of coming outside because they were told to stay indoors. If you don't have natural light coming in, then your brain or your lights, as my grandmother would say, your lights are eyes. If they're scatterat, it's going to always be dull. It's going to always be dim. So you're not going to be.
That's a very good point. Yes. If you can't see properly.
Daylight from night. Like everything look like night or evening.
That's so true.
How are you going
to see? Because I do see patients coming to me saying that, you know, they have had impairment in their vision. And their sleep has been off after that. They, as you said, they don't know when daytime is. They don't know when nighttime is. And all the relatives just complaining, oh, she won't sleep at night. She up all night. I'm like, well, she don't know that it's night. So that's part of the problem.
So we have a circular thing going on where one thing is going to affect the other, and it's going to affect the other, and nobody's sleeping and everybody confused and feeling bad because you must sleep to regulate everything else in your body and to feel rested and go along with the rest of the day as normally as you can. And of course, a person with dementia, then that could actually put them in delirium if they're not sleeping well. So they'd be confused. And then you're thinking they're hallucinating, or they're singing, or they're talking idle, but they really are just sleep deprived.
Yeah, a lot of them is true.
So we got plenty of things.
Yes. A lot of things that contribute to us at the elderly having disruptions in their sleep, or difficulties in terms of their sleep, or changes in their sleep patterns as you know, as they get older. So that's one of the first things that we want to get home to our listeners, is that you have to bear that in mind to start with, that there are lots of factors that are contributing to your loved one who may not be sleeping well. So, you know, don't, I know it's frustrating, I know it's difficult, it's you know, we want to fix it just as much as you do, but bear in mind that there are things that we cannot change there are some parts of that we can't do anything about, but we'll do as much as we can.
We'll modify as much as we can. One more thing, it's more social, but isn't everything social? The lack of socialization again because of lockdown. So older person have not had their group, their peer group, their people. Talking on the phone is not socialization they're living person.
No.
You need person to person.
Yeah.
But that's not happening. But even if you do a video call or a FaceTime call, you can do it with a limited number of people. But their interaction that they've been used to has been, I would say, really, really decimated. It's really gone down, and we're gonna have to find, there's a social way to get it back up. I mean, Q helps, but there are some persons who are like, I ain't coming out my house again for this thing to catch me. So how do we help them? So if you're not socializing, you're not feeling, you're always feeling agitated. So there's a general agitation. And along with that lack of social structure, which is going to disrupt their, happiness, you can see. Feeling unsettled. You haven't talked out your issues. You haven't vented to a peer. And then someone puts the television on, which has a blue light, which is going to further disrupt your sleep. That's going to add to it. So you think you put the television in the room for, company. But one TV is not company, TV is not socialization, and the light from television disrupts sleep.
Correct.
So, I mean,
exactly.
We can go on, but let's just do this.
Well,
I ended up being 5. I said 3. Sorry,
it's a lot more than 3, but that's okay. And then, even like, there, would you say that older clients are a lot more sensitive to like noises and that sort of thing? So, if you have like somebody else in the house who happens to be a night owl, or they live near the road and there are a lot of vehicles passing and people talking outside, or they're in a care facility where other residents may not necessarily be, the most peaceful at nighttime, all of that can contribute to them not being able to sleep well, right?
All of that contributes to it, because if you're with someone and they're talking all night or they're singing all night, how are you going to sleep?
Yes, exactly.
I also, for example, my grandmother, when I'm growing up, and even though she can, I don't know how she can hear, at the crack of dawn, she can hear, I mean, in the middle of the night, she can hear the smallest squeak, the smallest jingle, and so they do, there is a disruption that we know in, not, you think because they're not hearing well, that they'll sleep? Nope. It's the frequency of the disruptions at night. So you're absolutely
That's very right. true.
Yeah.
That is very, very true. So what should the caregivers or the elderly person do if they're not sleeping well? Well, what should they do?
Well,
should they come to the doctor for that?
Well, hopefully after this discussion they may have a few more answers.
Right, come a little less.
But if you're not sleeping, it is going to disrupt your life. It is going to interfere with everything, your appetite, vision, as we said before. It can actually raise your blood pressure, because lack of sleep can cause disruption in your blood pressure, as well as blood sugar control, as well as cholesterol control. So it's going to affect everything. So we don't take it lightly at all. And it's going to raise anxiety. Is going to link with depression, as you said, one of the common things you hear. So it is psychosocial, body, psychosomatic, is all involved. So definitely speak to a medical professional. Give them all the information of what is actually what you think is disrupting your sleep. And then we can tease it out and we can say, well, here, you have a hormone issue, but it's also a social issue. There are also factors that are affecting your blood pressure. So let's get your blood pressure control, diabetes control, perhaps take the disruptors out, take the television out of the room, create an environment that is conducive for sleep. So if you can't do anything with the traffic, you may want to have the fan on, which is white noise, or some people actually choose to have earmuffs. Some people with earmuffs, everyone's not, but have a fan for white noise. Have a light dimmers, have a dark room, drink a glass of warm milk does work, but if it doesn't work for everyone, warm just plain warm water or common tea. Chamomile tea is not advertising anything specific, but there are common teas everybody needs.
Yeah, it works.
Some kind of leaf that can work. Just check with your doctor to make sure you know.
Correct. Don't go mixing up everything. We have a call on Elaine.
Okay.
Good.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Hello.
Good night to you're the partner.
Thank you. Good night to you too. Thank you for calling.
My question is that my suggestion is that they should have an elderly clinic at the hospital and at the nursery at Sylvester and them.
At the polyclinic.
The elderly should have to at the polyclinic. The elderly should have to come and mix it with the young ones. I feel that there should be a special thing for the elderly.
There's some elderly people that love to come and interact with some of the young people in the clinic too.
I don't know how interaction that the young ones do. I have witnessed it, and I feel that there should be a special place, especially at the A&E for the elderly. We just have to come and mix with the young people, and at the polyclinic.
That's actually a fair request. I can see where you're coming from. Yeah, where it would actually be nice to have gerontologists and gerontology nurses and geriatric trained doctors and nurses within the more of them within the public healthcare system.
Not only that, they should have a special doctor to deal with them.
Yeah, special doctor, special nurse to make accommodations for the elderly. That's not bad suggestion urgent care matters.
I can speak on it because I had some experiences. Actually, I had a fall. I fell on some cement. I fall off a barrel that you pour stuff in. And I went out in the morning because I kept birds, and I went up on it, and the barrier that set me and made me wrong and dropped me. They hadn't even time to jump or anything like that. And I broke all the ligaments in my spine. And when I go to the hospital or polyclinic, I have to wait long.
I have to wait long,
and I feel that there should be a special unit for the elderly. Both at the hospital and the polyclinic. That is my
favorite. That's actually a very good suggestion. Thank you so much, and I trust that you're feeling better now.
Yeah, actually, my right hand that I hurt, and I was attending therapy. The doctor told me now all I have to do is go out to the beach and get myself back together. My hand will get back there. On Thursday. I had some experiences at the hospital that I would like to go through again. And at the polyclinic.
We hope you don't have to go back there.
That is why I recommend that they should have a special unit for the elderly at both at the hospital and the polyclinic.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That's reasonable.
Good worker.
Thank you so much for calling, and you stay safe.
All right,
doctor. Before you get back to your guest there, I wonder if I can throw this in now that I have your attention here.
Sure.
This one says, good evening, doctor. I am senior, now a few months from 80 years old. From August, my body went through some kind of change. I am not quite over yet. I do go to sleep around the same time, but now interrupted by the bad feeling to urinate. I must go to the bathroom. I had two accidents already, so hubby used protective sheeting. So I'm coming around. Yes, I have OA. I don't know what OA is, but it's in capital letters. I have OA, very painful, but doesn't keep me up. Now, when I said I don't know what OA means, that's me speaking, not the writer.
I know. Okay. Yeah, yeah. It means osteoarthritis.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yes.
And the last part of it says, what to do about the bathroom business. Apart from that, the person says, I'm good. So it's the OA that happens. It's very painful. And the bathroom issues.
Mm-hmm.
So they're asking what to do with the bathroom business at 80 or approaching 80.
Well, take it away, Dr. Lana, because I know that's a complicated one. I think it's a female.
It strikes me as that. The picture is of a female person here, so I'm assuming that's the writer.
Yeah, because she said hubby used protective bedding.
So usually males may have that issue of getting up at night. But anyone can. If you find that she's made modifications already with the protective sheets, what you can do is have a night chair, which is closer, which would reduce the risk of falls at night. One of the things that's recommended is to have like a night light, a motion sensor night light, so it doesn't disrupt your sleep, but it also keeps you safe. So when you get up at night, the light that's next to you will allow you to see where you're going. So and there are many older, you know, when we were growing up, my grandmother's generation, they always had a night chair, you know, next to the bed. So, so it would ease your bathroom trips, reduce your risk of falls, and also enable you to go to the to use the bathroom safely at night without having to feel the, let's just say, indignity of having to do something you hadn't done before, which is go to Pampers or whatever. So if a chair can work, or the old, you know, the old fashioned Bajan equivalent.
It's a top seat. our seniors, you know, our great grandparents and grandparents had, as you said, had a night chair. You know? No, that would be a commode, right? Like,
yes,
commode. Yeah, it's so fancy with a frame, and it looks like a chair with you know,
a little cover and all that.
Yes, so it's very clean, very, you know, very safe, and especially for somebody who has arthritis where they may be a little slower in movement because of the pain and the stiffness in the joints, that may actually be a good suggestion as well.
So what they can do is speak to their doctor and have an assessment by place that facilitates those night chairs, assess the house, where they can go, the height that they need to have the chair at, and go with their comfort, and then reassess as time goes on. So it is doable. They can be some way, and if that works, you can always let us know if that helps.
Have an assessment generally by their doctor, because there may be some other issues below the belt that may be occurring that she may not necessarily be aware of. So I think that would be a good thing just to check and make sure there are no infections or nothing going on that's called, because she said it was a change from August, so she may be drinking more water because it's hot. Right, so we have another call.
Yes, please.
Busy today.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. They can hear you.
Hi.
I am in my CMDF here, right?
And congratulations.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, we are.
I said, I'm in my CMDF here, right? And I sleep like a log. The only time I don't get a good sleep is when Gregston, Ken, and the race on at night. And they wouldn't allow me to sleep because they want to hear the whole program. You hear me?
Yeah, I heard that one. I was wondering what I did wrong now.
Me
too.
And that gentleman, Ken, and that other lady, Ellen Rice, would not allow me to sleep at night because I have to sit down to hear the whole program. Right? If I lay down, I go to sleep. Have a good night.
Thank you, sir. Good night. So I appreciate that. Thank you
for that.
So I was saying, you know, you were talking about medication that persons can possibly, not necessarily maybe calling by names, but ensure that you can speak with your doctor and take the appropriate, if you don't want to take the traditional medication, then there may be someone that can help you with the herbal options or regulatory options. The point is really, I think, not in, in terms of removing the external stimuli, the noise, the extra lights, having somewhere safe to walk at night, having a motion sensor light, recognizing that you, if you want to sleep at night, you really should try, you know, do all your activities in the daytime and set a schedule for yourself to sleep at night. So your brain associates turning off the lights, dimming the lights, getting the mood, drinking the warm milk or warm or other drink, so that you are in the mood and get yourself ready to go to sleep.
Yeah. We have another caller on the line. Good evening.
Good evening, Gregson, and to your people in the studio, the doctors.
Good evening.
I want to say that I have found this, a remedy for getting to sleep at night.
All right.
I and it's a very simple one that you don't have to medicate. My grandson, he sleep with me sometimes. And he's get hot. So he said, Granddad, they want a fan. And I bought a nice fan for him. So then he turned on the fan at night. I get some of the breeze off of the fan. And believe it or not, once that fan is on, I go on to sleep. Like Gemma's here, just like a log. And I get it every morning around 5 o'clock because I used to work in the port for many a year, and I used to get up at a particular time in the morning to go to work. And I found that now I still get up at that time because I sleep so much in the night. I'm so nice that in the morning around that same kind of time I get up. And I want to suggest that people should try the fan. Don't get no sleeping tablets. Try the fan. And that will have worked for me. Gregson,
Thank you so much. He's absolutely Gregson. Correct. Thank you, sir. And congrats on being in your 78th year. You sound quite strong and healthy and raring to go.
Not this one. That was the previous caller. But he was saying, what were you trying to say before? I didn't hear what you were saying.
I was asking what gave you to sleep, Gregson. I mean,
oh dear.
I know in recent times you may not have slept well because you and your team were beaten. So that would have started for sleeping.
Oh no!
Maybe I'm still having nightmares about that. Still don't sleep well.
But before they had
one, you guys some lashes.
Before they had one, I know you would have sleep. You would have sleep comfortably.
Yeah, but you know how it goes. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
But I just want to suggest, though, that people should get a fan. And they don't have to put it directly on them, but just put it enough that they can get a nice cooling breeze. And you will find that would make
you
feel better. That would make you feel better. And it works for
me.
I'm 70.
You sleep better when the temperature is cooler.
Yeah, I'm 70. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I feel like if people in my age group and beyond should try that. And leave out some of the medication because people can't sleep, they take in sleeping tablets, and then when they can't get none, they can't sleep again, you know? So try the fan. It works.
All right, sir. Thank you kindly.
Anyway, you guys have a great evening.
And likewise to you, sir.
You too. So absolutely, a cool room does contribute to better sleep. And if you can't get the room as cool as you'd like, we did say warm teas or warm drinks, beverages may help. But there is a school of thought that suggests if you drink something cold, that obviously will cool you down. And then you can use what other external devices you have and ensure that you can have your cool room for sleep.
Yeah, because there is nothing nice about sleeping in heat. We all know it makes us very uncomfortable. Because, you know, he brought up a point because, you know, some of the older people will say, oh, you can't sleep with the fan on you, it can give you a cold, you can wake up in the morning with, you know, but, you know, it just helps them make sure you clean your fan as often as you need to, depending on the environment that you're in, but at least weekly to make sure that, you know, because we do have a lot of dust in the atmosphere, that you're not blowing dust particles at yourself. But he's right. You don't have to put it right on you, directly on you. You could just have it circulating in the air in your room, and that actually helps. And as Dr. Husbands was saying, the noise, the hum from the fan is what we call white noise, and it actually helps you to sleep a little better as well, because it drowns out some of the other outside noises that might disrupt you. So he did touch on, but let me tell you about an experience that I had this week. So this week I went to the pharmacy. Now, you know, I don't go to the pharmacy and advertise that I'm a doctor. So I was just sitting, waiting for medication, for a prescription. And I did see an elderly customer come in. And he said, I need something to help me sleep. And there was not much more conversation after that. He was assisted with supplements, thankfully, and not other medications behind the counter. They actually helped with a supplement that was over the counter, which I thought was quite fine. But I do know that there are quite a few people who actually do get, whether prescribed or unprescribed, a lot of sleeping tablets. Can you talk to us a bit about the caution that we should have when it comes to elderly patients with giving them medications that actually make them sedated or sleep?
Yes, and that is why we opened with your question on should they just listen to us and after that just drink some more tea and go sleep. No, you should have go to your doctor and let them assess why, what your problems are having with sleep. Like the lady who mentioned before, it was something for the last month and a half. What could that be that's stopping her from sleeping? What social conditions are stopping you from sleeping? Mm-hmm. Is there anything in your medication? So some medications are what we call diuretic. So a person may have started a medication and then it's making them go to the bathroom all night long. True. A male may have a prostate issue and that's causing him to have a problem all night long. So let the doctor, it's best to let the doctor assess what other areas may be the issue and then suggest. But having said that, when we find the issue out and there's none, let's just say you're fine, you're healthy, all is well.
Yeah.
And you've done all the ancillary things. And the person may have, let's say, dementia or delirium, or they may be confused. And so there is a role for having some person have sedating tablets or what people call sleeping tablets. Really don't want to use that expression as such. But something to help them to calm, so it may be an anxiety condition, so they may need to see someone like yourself and discuss what is causing them the anxiety, and so they may need something for anxiety and not necessarily for sleep. They may need something for depression and not necessarily for sleep. So it is always wise to get another view, maybe lab tests that may be necessary before we just jump to you need an herb, you need some tea, or you need a tablet.
Yes, sure.
And the caution with medication is it ought to be given at the time that the pharmacist or the doctor has suggested. If you give a medication to an older person too late, they're going to become drowsy and they're likely to stumble and fall. If you give it too early, they may wake up in the middle of the night in pain or confused and want to get up to use the bathroom. And again, stumble and fall. Older persons and falls and frail bones don't add up. So that's the danger. So we always have to be monitoring. So if the doctor gives you something, ensure that you follow the pharmacist and the doctor's instructions on how it should be taken. And usually it will be monitored. The doctor will call you back to find out or let you come back in to find out what happened, what has been regulated, has it worked, and then maybe come up with a plan B.
Yeah, that is so true. Thank you so much for that. Is there a role for exercise when it comes to sleep?
An older person, varies according to the age group and according to the health of the individual and according to their ability. So a person with osteoarthritis any fractured limbs because they're older or anything that's causing them disruption, they're not going to want to do the exercises, or they may not be able to. But the role for, everything's available online, thankfully. So you can find videos, something that speaks to exercise with limited range of motion of your upper limbs or a limited range of motion of your lower limbs. But exercise, if you can, and we have some very young 60s and 70s. We still have a very high, recently I saw the highest still of centenarians, and they look strong as ever.
It's very true.
And they're in their garden and they're moving around. So exercise, especially gardening, which for some older people is their peace and their exercise. Definitely. Mm-hmm. If you walk with a group, try to do it maybe on in the afternoons. Go somewhere where it's safe. You want to walk with a group, not just alone. And go somewhere where it's safe and you're walking and exercising so that when you get home, your body is, I wouldn't say exhausted, but your muscles have had the exercise.
Yeah, you had some activity. Yeah, so that you, because it's the same thing of letting, it kind of goes along the line of when they take naps during the day. If you are not active and you're laying down in the bed too much, you're not getting stimulated, you're not having any activity, then obviously when nighttime comes, it's like, well, I know, because the purpose of sleep is for our bodies to rest and rejuvenate and, you know, carry out all the activities that happen in our bodies and our organs when we're sleeping. So if you're resting during the day, then it's like, well, why do I need to sleep? No, I slept the whole day. Exactly. So I feel like it goes the same way, you know, you need to keep, because sometimes we kind of forget that these, that older persons now have a change in their routines and activity level as they get older, especially like post-retirement. You know, if you don't have like small children or other family members that you have to assist in your retirement, like dropping off to school or picking up, or, you know, helping out at your church or, you know, some community activity, and you're just at home all the time. Yes. Then it's going to make you not, you're going to go sleep during the day. You're not going to have as restful a time at nighttime. And I think sometimes we take for granted how big of a change retirement is, or children and grandchildren growing up and moving out of the house is for the elderly, because they almost have a lack of purpose at that point. But it should really be a change in purpose and not a lack of purpose. So it's for us to help them recognize that they're still very, very needed and important. Do activities with them. Because I think sometimes we forget that sometimes I see relatives that I have to say to them, well, what do you do with granny? What do you, you know, do you take her outside for a walk? Do you go and have discussions with your grandfather? Do you ensure that your great uncle gets to go to the supermarket or something like that? You know, yes, you can go for them, but, you know, they need to have activity.
There are three places: post office, supermarket, and the bank. Yes. All the people, that is where they see their parents.
And the clinic.
Where they get out.
And the clinic. Yep.
And the clinic. It's true. Yep. But they're walkable. They're seeing somebody. And that was really interested during COVID. Oh, for sure. Oh, my. Well, you know, so getting them out, having someone there, caregiver, family member, neighbor, anyone. And they're able and willing. Sometimes you don't feel willing. I know. You are able but not willing, because you feel like you don't want to bother the person. But that is where we can come as a community, and it takes a village. Just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to help an older person to give back, and they really are so generous and give back to them what they've been given to us.
That is correct.
Mentorship.
Go ahead.
If you're going
to I was about to ask you about that. Yes.
So you can go to Optimus, they can go into all the community centers, and there's a role for mentorship. So all the gentlemen who were mechanics, they can have like man sheds where they can just be with the boys and talk with the younger ones. Ladies can speak with the younger ladies about dress and grooming or whatever is coming up. And give them some guidance.
It is so true, because just to show how important that is, I the most enjoyable like bridal showers and stuff that I go that I have been to have been the ones through church where you have women of all age groups at these showers and not just you and your girlfriends are in their 20s and 30s but you know Miss Brown who is 85 and you know and they're telling you about their experiences and they're usually a lot more open when it's just women or just men you know and there's a lot that you can learn from them because we you know we see them especially as young people we see them as just the old granny that mean no nothing I mean they don't know anything about what I'm going through but they do they've been through there. All of that I come out on the other side
and as my grandmother would say y'all don't know half of the fashion and can't dress half of the way that
it's true
top and gloves and hat and this
correct
and that, you know but I think it speaks to us bridging the gaps and understanding that each one has a role. So the older person has the role in mentorship. We then can seek out mentors and not just family members, but mentors and older ones, older friends that can give you advice because we all need guidance, you know, Dawson.
It's true. I mean,
there's nobody that has a monopoly on knowledge.
Nope.
Not for sure. So we all need guidance and we need it from someone, as you said, who's been there before. Seen it, done it, got the t-shirt, and can at least
correct.
And while we listen.
Yes, and that helps with their mood. Feeling wanted and needed helps with their mood. And if you're in a good mood, you sleep better.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Let me just
squeeze this one in here very quickly because we get kind of short on time. This is just asking a question here. A person wants to know what they can take for anxiety at night, I guess, in order to sleep better.
Okay. So what I would advise that person to do is to see their general practitioner first, and let's make sure that there's nothing physical that's causing you to feel that way at night. Because sometimes people feel the feeling of being anxious at night may actually be their heart beating faster, or you know, something just feeling very flushed, or it could be a lot of different things. So let's make sure that there's nothing medical that's causing you to feel that way. And if it is anxiety, after it's been investigated, your general practitioner can take it from there, or they will refer to a specialist if they need to. But that's something that your general practitioner can handle. And I definitely advise going to your GP first rather than going and buying something over the counter or ask any pharmacist for sleeping tablets, because you may just be masking a bigger issue, right? Absolutely. So that's my advice to that listener. And we have just over 12 minutes we have, but we could still take another call. If you have a burning question or comment, you can call us at 434-1790 or keep those WhatsApps coming, because Gregston does tell me, he forwards them even after the show is over so that we can tackle them when we come again, to 266-4862. So there's any other points that you wanted to bring out for our listeners as it regards to sleep and aging?
Yes, and this one is more not just the older person, but it pertains to the family group.
Yeah,
if there's a family around, especially so 65 to 70, you know, you're active and you're around 70, 75, the 80s plus, they're the ones who and all of us really do need to be surrounded by family members. And that sense of peace, I know for sure my grandma, that older person, they love when the house has people
they
in
do.
It.
They do.
And that everyone is talking and they're interacting. So I think for family members, I don't know if you can have workshops or, again, community hubs where family members get to understand what it is for an older person to have to go through these changes. Because they've never been old before. And for them, it's a weird feeling.
Exactly.
They're a day older than, 20, 30.
It's true.
You're
80.
You're a little more than that. Don't try and don't move too fast.
Exactly.
We family members get together. We can come in groups. It doesn't have to be like a formal therapy group. But if you
yeah,
meet in
just
community hall,
spending time, yeah,
go do line dancing if you can. Do something. And you know what? The older persons and the little ones, the 5-year-olds,
yes,
the 6-year-olds, listen to me.
They do well together.
And older people are
yes,
like the best balance there is.
They are.
Because there's no judgment. And everybody has a limit. And they're
best
just
friends.
Sponges.
They are best friends. Children, toddlers, and as you said, the young early childhood, so the receptions and infancies and just coming out of preschool, and the grannies and great grannies, and they keep them young too.
They do.
They keep them very, very young. The interaction is a beautiful thing. Grace, can we have a caller?
Yes, please.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I speak?
Yes, you can. You're on the show.
Okay. I have a tonic named Nutrafol that makes you sleep very good. You sleep good, you eat good, and you rest good. You know it? Nutrafol.
I've seen it at the pharmacy. I've seen it.
It is very, very good. You rest
okay,
very, very good. So someone wants to try that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. You be safe.
Thank you. From one old to another, everything doesn't fit all.
Right.
What is it? There's no one size fits all. So
yeah,
whatever someone says, yes, it may work for somebody else. What we just want to, so that is great advice. So vitamin and maybe a vitamin deficiency,
mm-hmm,
like that is covered by a particular vitamin. And that was the reason why you weren't sleeping. Great. But we both said at different points, we do the pre-assessment first.
All right.
There's a reason why you're not asleep. As I always go to my grandma. I mean, you know, I'm
me
a grand girl.
Correct.
She said night is for sleep. If you're not sleeping at night, something is wrong.
Exactly.
Your brain, we spoke earlier about the clock. That is a regulation for when the sun goes down, our brains start to go into rest and reset and recovery. And we rest. So if there's something disrupting your sleep, find out what it is first, seek your doctor's advice, and then we find out if there's something more. If it is not, then we can go from there. We can recommend whatever vitamin, whatever control of any chronic condition there is. And if there is a psychosocial, what we call psychosocial, more to Dr. St. Hill's specialty, that requires more in-depth discussion, anxiety, depression, then we can address that. I know there's that stigma, and I really encourage older persons. Yes, growing older, it is a challenge. And you will have feelings that you didn't have before. This is the time now. You have no encumbrances. Feel free to speak your trouble, as it were.
Correct.
There's someone there.
Yeah, and the other thing that the other idea that just came to me too is, you know, before you pick up that supplement on the over the counter, talk to the pharmacist before you leave and let the pharmacist know, if they don't already know, the other medications that you were on, to make sure that there are no interactions with the medications that you're already taking. Because some of these things may be very good on their own, but then when they interact with some of the other medications, that can actually cause some problems for you. And you never know, because they don't come with a warning that says, do not take me with your blood pressure medication, some of them, because it might not necessarily be a known interaction, you know? So just double check with your healthcare providers, whether it's your pharmacist, your nurse, your doctor, whoever, before you actually take anything. Let them check and make sure that it's safe for you to actually take, because each person is different, right? So, Dr. Leonard, do you have any closing remarks for us? We have just about 5 minutes left.
I'd say with age, it's just it's a matter of understanding. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. So we've spoken about the changes that come to the brain as you get older.
That sounds like it should be on a t-shirt, Dr. Lana. To be forewarned is forearmed. Yes. I like that.
I have the monopoly on that expression, but as you get older, your clock will change. And so mm-hmm. it's just a matter of modifying what happens in the day, at night, talking to family, following, looking to see where in your room or in your life there's a disruption in sleep, and recognizing that sometimes it's par for the course and we will work through it. Sometimes mm-hmm. it is a signal that something else is wrong and seek your doctor's advice. But at the same time, we want to promote that normal sleep for an older person, 6 to 7 hours. Some people may get away with 5, but you don't want less than that, and you certainly don't want more than that. And if you are having any sleep disruptions, speak with your medical practitioner to see what else is going on. But and at the mm-hmm. same time, talk to your family as well. Let everyone get yes. bored. Let it be a family matter. Let it be a team matter. You spoke about talking to the pharmacist, the nutritionist, the mm-hmm. physiotherapist, the nurse practitioner,
yes.
whoever's your caregiver. That's minimum Absolutely. Of 5 people. The dentist, because if you have jaw pain and tooth pain and denture pain, you can't sleep.
Yes.
So everyone on the team, get together and let's figure this out. And sweet mm-hmm. dreams, everyone.
Yes. Yes. Sleep is very, very important. It is one, as I said, it's a topic that is near and dear to my heart. For 2 reasons, because I love sleep. Me and too. 2, because I see a lot of persons coming to me who complain of not being able to sleep properly. And I see the negative effects of not sleeping. They are wide, varied, and too numerous to count. So we want everybody to get the adequate amount of sleep. And when I do mental health presentations, I talk a lot about the fact that we've become a society, not just Barbados, but the world, where we glorify not sleeping properly. Yes, it's almost like we have a competition for who can sleep less.
Yes.
I'm not in that race. I am not in that race. Mm-hmm. I love to sleep. I have understood the importance of what goes on in your body while you are sleeping, because if you're going all the time, your body cannot recharge. Even the cars that we have now have to be put down and plug in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to recharge. So mm-hmm. please make sure you are sleeping. And those cups of coffee that you are having at nighttime, you need to cut them out.
The energy no drinks at night, please.
No, mm-hmm. no. You have to be careful even with some of the teas that you're using, because some of the green teas and stuff, those have caffeine. So read the box and see. Sometimes it may be as simple as switching the tea that you are drinking at night. You know, the elderly and myself love to have a good cup of tea. But it has to be, you have to see which tea it is and just be careful with that. So I'd like to thank you again, Dr. Husbands. You have been a wealth of information for a population that we do not speak about enough.
No.
Our elderly are precious resources. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. As you always do, you make the show. We could come here and just talk to each other. If nobody's listening, there's no point in it. And thank you, Gregson, for always being such a gracious moderator for us.
Yes, thank you, Gregson. I really appreciate it. Thank you to Dr. St. Hill. It's been a wonderful interaction. Welcome the comments from the audience, and every yes. one of those persons who called has a peer group, and they can spread the word.
Correct. Exactly. So this has been amazing. Mm-hmm. And Gregson, I would love to tell you that I am going to be back with you next week, but that is still to be decided. But you know, we like to keep you guessing. Yeah,
that's fine.
You
know? That's fine. Always appreciate the fact
we like to by. Keep you guessing. Yeah. Yes, you have choices. You can have flavor every week. So, yeah. So, but we will be here, either myself, Dr. Lewis, or Dr. Grandison, as we have some very important topics coming up for October. As we know, this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it is also mm-hmm. Mental Health Awareness mm-hmm. Month. Yeah. So, All right. We have some interesting things planned for you.
Thank you kindly. Thank you both. That's Dr. Lana Husbands, the guest this evening. And of course, represented this evening was Dr. Keo Ford St. Hill. And as she said, somebody will be here. Not necessarily to buy drinks, but somebody will be here. Thank you so thank you so much. Thank you kindly. And have a wonderful evening. Oh, by the way, somebody's supporting the elderly lady who called about the, was it the Nutrifrost? Whatever the product was. Somebody's here saying yes, it actually works. So thank you kindly for listening in and giving your opinion there. Okay, daughters, thank you kindly. And have a wonderful work week. Take care. All right.
Happy International Older Person's Day. Rest of
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you go.